Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer vetoed 9 bills this week in a move that was almost theatrical in its timing. A court had just rejected a Republican attempt to block those vetoes. And within hours, Whitmer exercised exactly the authority the court upheld. The speed of the response was a clear political message. Not just that she was vetoing the bills, but that she was doing so the moment she legally could. Whitmer has been one of the most prominent Democratic counterweight figures to the current administration, and this week's maneuver adds to that narrative.
The Cook Political Report, shifting 4 governor races toward Democrats, is the more systemically significant political development this week, Marcus. Cook is the most respected nonpartisan race rating organization in Washington, and when they move 4 races simultaneously in the same direction, it reflects a genuine shift in their modeling of the political environment. We don't yet have the specific states in today's reporting, but the directional signal is clear. The 2026 midterm map for gubernatorial races is moving in Democrats' favor, which likely reflects both the Iran conflict's political dynamics and economic anxiety about inflation and interest rates.
The main Senate race situation is genuinely chaotic. Graham Platner formally withdrew from the Democratic primary, leaving the party scrambling to find a new nominee via convention by July 27th. That's a 16-day window to identify, vet, and select a candidate to challenge Susan Collins, one of the most formidable incumbents in the Senate. Collins has navigated every political storm for 28 years. Throwing a new, unconventional candidate into this race with almost no runway is an enormous organizational challenge.
The Mamdani angle makes this story considerably more interesting. Reporting from the New York Post claims that a top advisor to New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani was actively backing Platner's candidacy, not primarily to win Maine, but to complicate Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's path to a 2028 presidential bid. The theory is that Platner would have claimed significant progressive energy and donor attention, reducing AOC's ability to consolidate the left flank of the party for a potential presidential run. It's the kind of preemptive 2028 positioning that's becoming increasingly visible, even though 2028 is still 2 years away.
Kevin McCarthy telling Speaker Mike Johnson to stop recessing the House is a fascinating glimpse into Republican leadership dynamics. McCarthy, who lost the speakership in an extraordinarily public revolt orchestrated by the Freedom Caucus, is now essentially backseat driving from the outside. His argument that Congress needs to be in session to handle legislative business is correct on the merits. But the public nature of the rebuke and the fact that it's coming from the immediately preceding speaker creates a dynamic where Johnson is visibly operating without the full confidence of his predecessor.
The McConnell health update situation is unresolved in a way that creates genuine legislative uncertainty. Republicans in the Senate are publicly calling for clarity about Mitch McConnell's condition as the chamber returns Monday. McConnell has had visible health episodes over the past 2 years, and with the Senate returning to work on Russia sanctions, Iran policy, and potentially other national security legislation, questions about his capacity to participate are operationally relevant, not just politically sensitive.
Let me bring in the RFK Jr. story here, because it fits the domestic power dynamics we're discussing. Notice is reporting that the White House killed a health ad campaign that Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. had planned. The administration blocking its own cabinet secretary from running health outreach advertising is an unusual intervention that suggests ongoing tension between Kennedy's agenda and White House priorities. Kennedy's brand within the administration has always been awkward. His voter coalition was partially absorbed into the Trump coalition, but his substantive policy goals often diverge from administration orthodoxy.
The Trump-backed Freedom Fuel gas stations are a story I want to flag because the details don't quite add up. 25 stations across Pennsylvania and New Jersey launched with a debut price of $3.47 per gallon, but prices are already climbing above that. The ownership structure is described as opaque. It's unclear who actually holds the licenses and what the relationship to Trump Organization entities is. At a moment when Trump is promoting these stations as delivering on a promise to lower gas prices, the actual pricing trajectory moving upward and the unclear ownership create both a policy credibility question and a potential legal exposure question.